All right. Hi. It is so hot. It is so hot. I'm trying to concentrate. I'm just a spring baby. And we are just in springtime. There is no reason why it should be this hot. It's just disrespectful. I want to enjoy sunny days with a cool breeze. So the fact that spring lasts all of 2 days, and then winter lasts 7 years, and summer lasts 4, it's just not right. I want to enjoy the springtime. I don't like this extreme heat shit. This is not working out for me, but yeah, I guess happy springtime, happy Taurus season to all my Tauruses out there. Gang gang. Anyway, yeah, we're gonna finish reading Unhinged. I'm gonna try to finish reading it, at least. I haven't read it since I was here reading it to you before, so I hope that nobody else went ahead and read it without me. If you did, that wasn't very cash money of you, but we move. I think we left, you know what, let me just turn this on. We either left off on chapter 8 or chapter 9, from what I remember. Let me get out of my current read. Okay, so we're 53% through the book. Hold on, because I don't even know what I just did here. Get me out. Okay, we're 53% through the book. I'm going to try my best to finish it tonight, because I want to start a new one with you and for you. Yeah, we're on chapter 9. So page 40, damn, only 53% through. Okay, well, if you, I would suggest if you haven't, you go listen to the first two reads of Unhinged, because if not, you're going to be mighty lost in this story. But yeah, for those of you that did read it with me before, or like heard me, you know what I mean, then you know that Tana and her door got together and the door became a man. So now she's got a man's. And what else? Oh yeah, trigger warning, you already know Randall is the creep in the book that I'm sure is only gonna do more creepy things. So just be aware of that. But yeah, we're gonna go ahead and get into it. Okay. I'm just ready. I'm just ready for the door puns that I know Vera Valentine is gonna bless us with. All right, chapter 9. Tana and I found out together that the same phone app that could be used to order food also worked at hardware stores. Unsure of how my transformative magic worked, Tana refused to leave my side, afraid I'd turn back into a slab of painted oak once she was out of sight. Shortly after, I was crouched holding one end of a tiny hot pink measuring tape, and Tana meticulously measured my, well, the hole, to find the right placement. At one point, the two small measuring tapes slipped out of her fingers, retracting and whacking me in my new shin. She hissed, her warm hand closing over the front of my pant leg apologetically. Sorry, sorry, stupid pink tacks. My friend gave me this expensive woman's toolkit when I was moving, and everything's so freaking small. I frowned at the garishly pink plastic box she'd set up on the small table, a messy jumble of pink-handled things that looked more like children's toys than the sort of tools Randall carried. But why are they made like that? Why should you pay more for smaller, flimsy things because you're a woman? That seems silly to me. I am already a huge fan of oak, and you know this. But anyway, I was puzzled at the inequality of it, but the warm look Tana shot in my direction quickly lifted my mood. I wasn't sure why making such an obvious conclusion would earn me admiration. Oh well, she just like me. But I was no fool. I'd take it. Besides, I was glad to distract Tana with the project. We'd both quietly agreed to get a new door in place, one that couldn't be breached by Randall's master key, as Tana told me it was called, before anything else. Even with my capable human presence in her living room, I could tell that Tana needed the psychological barrier of a locking door to feel truly safe. Finding out that Randall had breached her home only 2 days ago had given a haunted look I was anxious to chase away. Aw, I am so... I am so soft, okay? When I asked her how she wanted to proceed, she elected to get the empty door frame filled before calling the police. Eager to prove I was here to support her wishes and make her feel safe, I'd immediately agreed. Ending up on the wrong side of a vicious, bloodthirsty length of pink measuring tape. Hanging up a spare shower curtain over the door frame for momentary privacy, Tana finalized the home improvement store app order with a tap. The orange juice bottle still sat grimly on the counter, surrounded by sticky drops of juice from where I jostled it out of Tana's hands. Evidence. While I longed to clean it up and remove every trace of Randall from her apartment, I begrudgingly agreed to leave it alone until the police could be summoned. The home improvement store delivery sent a text that they'd be an hour late, so Tana suggested we watch a movie while we waited. It was an activity familiar to both of us, for different reasons, but I was all too happy to repeat the experience. That said, I'd spent so long wishing I could be human for Tana that I wasn't sure what to do now that my wish had been granted. Human life was proving to be confusing and awkward, while being a door had been fairly straightforward. Just as I was overthinking things, however, Tana leaned into me as the movie started. Is he still wearing her ex's shit? Because we can throw hands, Tana, because I know you did not order a new door from the hardwood store through this app, but you couldn't get me some sweatpants or something from Walmart? You couldn't get me a Hanes t-shirt? Anyway. Just as I was overthinking things, however, Tana leaned into me as the movie started, hiding an exhausted yawn as her cheek rested on my shoulder. What, on your ex's shirt that I'm wearing? I'm sorry, I got so hung up on that. That shit really pissed me off. Because I know that you did not just fuck me while I was a door, turn me into a man, and then throw your ex's clothes at me and, here, put these on. Excuse me? I hesitantly draped an arm across the couch behind her, letting her curl in deeper with a barely audible sigh of comfort. So, what should I call you then? Dora Guy. Yours, I thought, before the... That's hot. Yours, I thought, before the question really sunk in. Right, a name. Humans had those. I didn't. I'm not sure. I suppose you can't really call me Dor around others. I glanced at the TV, where the opening credits for a superhero movie were flashing across the screen. She'd watched this one before, and I noticed she watched one of the actors with a sparkle in her eye. Last time, she'd even giggled to a friend over the phone about how hot he was. A magazine on the coffee table showed the same actor in all his bare chest. Mahogany brown glory smoldering at the camera. The character had been a gatekeeper of sorts, and while I was a bit jealous he'd caught Tana's eye, I could begrudgingly admire our shared purpose. How about Dries? I like the sound of that. Ew. Dries? I'm just imagining. I don't feel like that's not a good call. Because imagine you are being intimate with Oak. And you're like, oh, Dries. How about Dries? I like the sound of that. A little different than the actor Idris. Not Idris Elba. Oh, so it's not Dries, it's Driz? That's not good either. But it's spelled D-R-Y-S. I'm assuming they mean Drizzy Drake? I hate both options. A little different than the actor Idris, but still elegant sounding. It's definitely Driz. I fucking hate Vera. Vera, please. but still elegant sounding, a sibilant whisper, like my draft catcher sliding across the carpet. Tana nodded sleepily, cuddling up even closer with a soft, pleased sound of assent. Okay, Driss it is. I fucking hate. Now this is all it took, okay? I could withstand Christopher Thomas. I could withstand her putting a condom on her knob and taking it to town, okay? But Driss? Driss? It's too close to, like, never mind. Okay, I gave in to an impulse to stroke Tana's hair soothingly again. And I found I liked it so much I kept doing it. Soon she was relaxed into deep sleep against me, and I took the rare opportunity to watch her doze up to sleep. She was the most beautiful human I'd ever seen, and if I'd been in love with her before, I was entirely smitten now. Oh, Driss, I'm calling him Oak, I don't care. I was admiring the way her delicate eyelashes curled against her cheek when a soft hello issued from behind the makeshift shower curtain door behind the couch. Carefully sliding away from Tana and guiding her head to rest on the throw pillow, I made my way to the door, pulling the curtain back to reveal a delivery man in a light blue uniform, brandishing a clipboard and pen. Hello, sir. Are you Mr. Vent? These names, yo. I have a delivery here for Tana Vent. I nodded after a moment, setting aside. So Oak has no last name, and now his first name is Driss. So it's going to be Driss Vent? What beef does Vera have with doors? Tana Vent and Driss Vent? And the chihuahua's name was Christopher Thomas fucking Scrimshaw? Are you... I nodded after a moment, setting aside the warm emotions at being mistaken for her husband. I reached, oh, so you're gonna take her last name? It's all bad. It doesn't matter. But I reached for the offered pen and clipboard, subtly leaning on the door frame as I mentally struggled with staying upright. Humans were so floppy. I'd really have to work on getting used to this. I scribbled lazily on the line the delivery man pointed to, having learned from TV shows that performance and confidence meant far more than legibility when it came to signatures. Tapping the pen on the clipboard with a satisfied nod, the man used the pen to point over his own shoulder at a huge cardboard-wrapped rectangle resting on the opposite wall. After the delivery man left, I considered the package with mixed feelings. No one wanted to be replaced. Come on now, Oak. After all, and here I was staring right at my replacement, one that I'd encouraged, no less. I'd probably been Tana's door for a long time, but the time was right to transition into being something more. Her protector, her guardian, her... My mind wandered into lustful flashes of memory at the way her cunt had squeezed... at the way her cunt had squeezed around my knob. The slick, stretched glide of impalement as she backed into me with a moan. In my borrowed sweats, you fucked it up. I'm really hung up about this name and these sweatpants that you got him wearing that are not... If you ordered a door for him, for the house, you could get him a couple of clothes and underwear from Walmart or something. I'm not wearing your ex's shit. Fuck your ex. That's mean. Not, you know what I mean. Alright. The slick, stretched glide of impalement as she backed into me with a moan. In my borrowed sweats, my human cock jumped with interest, ready for a repeat performance. I gently squeezed it, willing it to calm down, determined to get things ready for Tana when she'd enjoyed a well-deserved rest. Okay, chapter 10. Tana woke with an unladylike snort, likely disoriented to surface from such a deep sleep while light still streamed in through the window. She wiped drool from the corner of her mouth, blinking sleepily before letting herself fall back into the cushions. Her voice floated over the couch, heavy with dry humor. Right. My shockingly attractive door has come to life after I fucked him, vowing to protect me against my murderous panty-sniffing super that broke in and poisoned my orange juice. Just another Thursday. I grinned. Shockingly attractive, huh? I take it. I wiped the back of my hand across my forehead. This sweating thing was almost as annoying as my floppy human spine. See, I feel him on that. I walked over with the tiny pink screwdriver still clutched in my big palm. Tana stretched with a gentle groan, tilting her head side to side to work the kinks out of her neck as her eyes flaked up in greeting. She loved her couch, but hard naps always took their toll on her neck and shoulders. Hey, sleepyhead, I beamed happily at her, and she returned it with a sleepy, peaceful one as she stretched again, breast straining against her tee. If she didn't cut it out, I was going to need a shower. A cold one. Did you have a good rest? The new door came while you were asleep, and there were instructions with it, so I figured I'd make myself useful. She scrubbed her eye with the heel of her hand, looking beyond the couch to see that her new door, one with a very pretty transom arch window, was installed in her front door frame now. I grinned, walking over to open and close the new door with a flourish. I twisted the latch on the curved inner handle before dropping a pair of shiny brass keys in her hand. When we perused the delivery app, I'd not so subtly steered her away from picking a model similar to my own. He said, I don't want no competition. Because if you fucked me when I was a door, maybe you would fuck this door too. Bendito, not poor Oak being being insecure about, damn, Oak gotta be insecure about men, about doors. I'd not so subtly steered her away from picking a model similar to my own, with a rounded knob on the interior. I know it was ridiculous, but it made me a little jealous. I didn't want a replacement she could fuck, even theoretically. I brought her phone over. I charged it while she was sleeping and handed it to her, nodding at the door. We should probably call the police now, right? Tan opened her mouth to reply, but her phone buzzed in her hand before she could. Creep. Oh, we know who this is. It literally says creep, like in little brackets. Hey, honey, Mrs. Scrimshaw says you got a big package delivered. Do you need help getting it inside? I am good with delivering big packages. Winky face. Ill. Ill. Tana's lip curled in disgust, and I growled with anger as I read over her shoulder. Was I in her personal space? Maybe. But I already told her I was her protector, hadn't I? Trigger warning, he knows you relax and make your mimosas today. He usually peeks in through the window to watch you for a minute if he hears the TV on and knows you're facing away. He's probably hoping to take advantage of you, or worse, once you're drugged. I bet he suggests mimosas as soon as he got in. My hand tightened on her shoulder, rubbing it as much to soothe her as myself. Tana laughed, looking at me in disbelief. Oh, and he's the stalker? Sounds like you could give him a run for his money, Driz. I fucking hate this name. I'm just gonna have to call him Oak. I'm so sorry if you prefer Driz, but I don't. I blushed at my own intensity as much as the pleasure of hearing my new name on her lips. Okay, caught me. I'm worried about you, that's all. I mean, I know you can hold your own. That's why he has to drug you in the first place, because you're such a fighter. But I... Honestly, Tana, I want to kill him. I'm not given to violence, I promise. Not even when I used to be slammed and kicked open by those impatient frat boys before you moved in. But the thought of him touching you... My voice roughened with the unspoken threat, and it was hard to miss the flash of lust that warmed Tana's gaze. She turned, lacing her arms around my neck, an intimacy I cherished. It's okay. I want to kill him too. I want y'all to. Fictional. Remember, this is all fictional. This is a fictional story about a woman and a door. Okay? It's okay. I want to kill him too. I probably would, in self-defense, if I didn't worry about trials and going to jail and everything else. If only to protect other women too. But you've watched the shows. Even obvious justice gets punished a lot. And they determine innocence years later with a whoops for locking someone up for decades. She frowned. She frowned, sighing. If I was really lucky, they'd arrest him on circumstantial evidence over the orange juice. Maybe. I also don't want the cops anywhere near you. We're not even sure what you are, Oak. I hate just even seeing Dries or Driz. Like, it's annoying me. And I'm willing to bet your transformation didn't come with ID. Damn, she got him there. Damn, he's not even in the system. He don't have fingerprints. She laid her cheek on my bare chest again, letting me tighten my arms around her. Maybe I should just forget about it, trust the new door to keep him out. If I'm careful, if I only go to my car during the day or take you with me, or maybe if I get an alarm system. Her phone buzzed again where it was clutched in her hand at my back, and she tensed, a barely audible whimper slipping out. I grumbled, holding her gently outward in order to meet her eyes. Tana, that's no way to live. You shouldn't have to look over your shoulder every time you cross a parking lot, or go shopping, or let yourself into your own apartment because some sick man thinks he's entitled to you. No, we're going to end this. And if you don't trust the police, we'll find another way. And even though the reassurances came from the lips of a fantasy man pulled straight out of her dreams and her doorframe, I hoped that Tana would let herself believe them. Chapter 11. Damn, are we going to go the whole book with him still wearing her ex's shit? I'm sorry. After we tested the new door's lock carefully, Tana agreed to go to the store with me. If only to get some clothes. Thank God. I swear that I hadn't read this. Like, it was just, it's been nagging at me. Okay. After we tested the new doors locked carefully, Tana agreed to go to the store with me. If only to get me some clothing that didn't look like I was en route to a Magic Mike calendar shoot. I still caught her preening as I gathered numerous appreciative looks while I looked through racks of t-shirts, still clad only in her ex's gray sweatpants and a pair of Tana's pink rhinestone-studded flip-flops that were two sizes too small. You got this man out here looking like a fool. Okay. Tana. She's fixing it. Okay. After an elderly woman nearly ran her cart into a display checking me out, Tana's expression changed from bemused to annoyed. She huffed and pulled a plain black t-shirt over my head, snapping off the tag and tossing it into the cart's upper basket with a toiletry she'd picked up for me. There, you can wear this out instead of causing property damage from all these thirsty retirees. Okay. I'm just imagining, like, shopping carts, like, running into things. Okay, Oak. Oak is apparently, you know, godly or whatever. I chuckled, pulling her close and kissing her so thoroughly and openly there was no question he only had eyes for her. She stumbled back a step, fingertips ghosting over her lips, eyes wide. Oh, right. I'd forgotten they hadn't done that before. Not when I looked like this anyway. She'd kissed me while I was still a door, but it had been more of a joke than anything else, right? Oh, Tana, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have assumed that you'd want... I winced, dropping my hands from her shoulders and stepping back behind the cart to give her space. Want? Tana tilted her head, eyes dancing with amusement. Oak, I think you're allowed to steal a kiss, sweetheart. I kind of buried your knob in my pussy, like... a few hours ago. She's like, and I'll do it again. Okay. We both jumped at a metallic clang and a loud whumping noise as an entire display stack of boxes tumbled into the aisle. A red-faced woman, unable to meet our eyes, hastily backed her cart away from the point of collision and took off in the opposite direction. She overheard them. Oh my God. Yeah, well, serves you right for eavesdropping, nosy. Tana sneered after her, grinning at me a moment later as I bent down to pick up the boxes. But seriously, Oak, it's fine. Feel free, okay? like I said, she said, and I'll do it again, and you can do it again. Get it, girl, I know that's right. Much like the eavesdropper, I struggled to meet Tana's eyes, concentrating on straightening the stack of boxes instead as I impulsively added a question. And the rest? Ooh, he said, can I have it all? Tana reached a hand down to help me up, giving me a wink. Well, maybe not right here in the menswear section. Nasty. I love it. My heart soared. Other parts of me did as well, unfortunately. Yeah. forcing me to grab the cart handle to put it in front of me. Tana only smirked, crossing her arms over her chest and glancing downwards. What's wrong, big boy? Got a not-so-little problem? I cannot. I'm not gonna lie. If I was in her shoes, every chance that I got, I would be throwing wood puns, knob puns. Like, there would, like, I get the puns in this book and stuff because this would so be me if, like my person was once upon a time an inanimate object that I, like, you know. What's wrong, big boy? Got a not-so-little problem. I blushed, clearing my throat. I'll be fine. I'm good. Do you need anything? You'll want some ice cream in a few days. Let's get you some ice cream, okay? And Oak is thoughtful, you know what I mean? Like, I fuck with him. She closed a hand around the side of the cart, stopping my progress with a curious tilt of her head. And just, how do you know I'll want ice cream in a few days, Oak? I fidgeted with the collar of my new shirt, clearing my throat again and lowering my voice. Your bad days. You'll have them soon, same as you did last month. The ones where you wear softer, softer clothing and watch sad movies and go to the bathroom a lot and sometimes cry. Me. Me. I don't like to see you sad, and you seem better when you have ice cream. Who doesn't, you know? Again, that warm look, the one that lit me up like sunshine on a spring day. As she released the cart and moved to walk beside me, her voice was soft and a smile tugged up the corner of her mouth as she nodded towards another aisle. All right, this way. Once we'd gotten everything Tana thought I need, we headed back to her apartment. The employment application I serendipitously grabbed at checkout tucked into my pocket. She'd been insistent about buying me several outfits, pairs of shoes, and toiletries, but I didn't want to be a kept man if I could help it. Listen, Oak is on his shit. He said, I am done being useless and inanimate. I am done only being able to, you know, lock a door. I am a man now. And you will not, like, I am going to have this job. Tana deserves to be taken care of, and I wanted to be the one to do it. As we were putting everything away, I tried not to read too much into the fact that Tana had cleaned out a drawer for me in her dresser. I explained what I'd seen Randall do, both before she moved in and after. The fear in her eyes made me anxious to soothe her, but I got the entire story out before I offered another hug. I hated scaring her, but she should know what kind of monster had access to her, and, until very recently, her apartment. And you're absolutely sure he didn't poison anything else? Tana stood in front of the open refrigerator, frowning at the contents and biting her thumb. Listen, everything would have went to the trash for me. Everything. Everything. I shook my head gently, closing the refrigerator door and opening my arms again. She stepped into them like we were made for one another, and I held her close, gloriously happy despite our grim topic of conversation. No, nothing. Nothing I'd seen, and I'd always kept a very close watch on him. I couldn't see what he was doing in your bedroom because he closed the door behind him, but the orange juice was the only food he ever touched. Her nose wrinkled and she slipped away from me to stomp to the bedroom. A few minutes later, she pulled open the folding door on the hall closet and shoved an armful of linens and pillowcases in the washer, dusting off her hands. Blech. God knows what the fuck he was doing in my bedroom. I always thought I smelled smoke, but I figured it was coming from the vestibule or something. I've never been more glad I habitually wash my vibe before I use it. I'm sorry, I just thought about something. Okay. I had already crouched down to retrieve the cleaning spray under the sink, along with a roll of paper towels that I tilted in her direction. If it's all right with you, I'll clean off your headboard and all the dresser tops too. I don't ever want you to feel violated or afraid in your own home. Damn it, this book makes me like, it's like, aw, but then it gets me mad, and then I'm like, ha ha ha, and then it gets me mad, and then it makes me like, aw. Tana studied me for a long moment, her eyes soft. Thank you, Oak. You've done so much already. You are a very good door. I hope you know that. Something about being called a good door made my human legs. me know if you want me to use that pet name in future audios. Instead of like good girl, good boy, I'll be like good door. Good window, good cabinet, good drawer, good refrigerator, good chair, good stool, good table. Something about being called a good door made my human legs feel weak and shaky. I nodded before continuing to the bedroom, grateful my new jeans and boxer briefs were better at concealing my arousal than the sweatpants had been. Chapter 12. I'd started moving things carefully from the dresser top to the bedside table when I turned to find Tana leaning in the bedroom doorway watching me, her expression unreadable, a smirk playing at her lips. Oh, she got plans? I saw that, you know. I turned my back to her and squeezed the trigger of the cleaning spray, only to have it stick, forcing me to fiddle with the nozzle nervously. Sweat began to tickle at my skin under my new shirt, even though the bedroom was comfortably cool. I sprayed the dresser top and swiped a handful of paper towels across it methodically. Saw what? I don't know what you mean. Suddenly, Tana's warmth was curled against my back, her arms lacing around my waist, fingertips dangling close to where I wished they'd explore. I had so many hungers now, as a man, and this one had nothing to do with the drive-thru burger Tana had gotten me while we were out. This is art. The look on your face when I told you what a good door you were for me. Ooh, kinky. I set the spray aside to splay a palm on the dresser top, needing support at the gentle tease in her words. A faint metallic noise rang by where her joint hands rested below my abdomen. My traitorous human cock had kicked at my jeans, pinning one of the drawer handles against his back plate. It was becoming a problem. Unlike my knob, it couldn't decide what it wanted to be, up and down, and up again if Tana so much as looked my way. I held my breath as her fingers unlaced to play at the front of my thighs, nails softly tracing at the denim as her voice purred at my ear. I'm gonna tell you a secret, Oak. I have a weakness for big, strong men who do as they're told. Good boys. Good boys. Who enjoy working for my praise. It makes me feel safe and protected. Do you know anyone like that? My answering, uh-huh, came out considerably higher than the deep voice I'd just barely gotten used to, closer to a squeak worthy of unoiled hinges. My focus lasered in on a knot in the wood dresser top, my stomach tightening with anticipation. And who might that be? I wonder. Her voice sent chills down my human spine, which felt even less sturdy than it normally did. I put more of my weight on my palm, slightly bent over the top of the dressers as my breath came in ragged gasps. I didn't know exactly what I wanted, what I needed, but I had a feeling Tana knew. Oh, she knows. It's me, I blurted, my voice trembling almost as much as my body. It's me. I'll do anything for you. Absolutely anything. I'll pay you back for the clothes and cook for you and do the laundry. Ooh. What did I say? What did I say about Oak? This man is a keeper. He had me before, but he really got me when he said, and cook for you. And do the laundry. Sir, please. Her voice sounded like beautiful bells as she laughed, resting her forehead between my shoulder blades. Palms still pressed deliciously high on my thighs. Oh, Oak, you sweet thing. Relax, baby. We're only playing a little. Stop me if you don't like something, though, okay? I sucked in a breath as her fingers moved to the button on my jeans, my fingertips flexing with excitement against the dresser. Oh, okay. I like this. I like this a lot. That's because my zipper tickled as she slid it down with agonizing slowness, my cock immediately pushing out for release from the pressure, bowing through the stretchy boxer brief material. You're my good boy, I whimpered. Tana's self-satisfied chuckle made my cock jump again, even as her nimble fingers buried in the slit of my boxer briefs to get. She is a woman on a mission and I fuck with it. As her nimble fingers burrowed into the slit of my boxer briefs to gently pull it out, my breath caught, body bowing further forward as she gave me a slow, deliberate stroke that sent electric pleasure dancing over my skin. Oh, oh, Tana. I had to take a break, okay? I'm really trying, okay? I'm really, really trying. And I'm trying to commit too, but this is a lot. Like, esto es mucho, okay? This is a lot, okay? Oh, oh, Tana, that feels so good. Please, can I please have more? I shivered as she pressed a soft kiss against my back and stroked me again, making me rise up on the balls of my feet to chase the sensation with a groan. My big, strong door. You did such a good job protecting me, saving me, making me feel so amazing. My hips started to lightly thrust into her hand, and she adjusted her grip seamlessly, moving blissfully faster now as she murmured praise to me. Now I need you to do something for me. Can you be a good boy and come for me? I lifted my head, blinking away the haze of pleasure, panic setting in as I stared at the wall in front of me. I, of course I will. Anything you ask, but I don't know how. Her body quivered where it was pressed against my back, and I cannot. Yeah, I cannot. It is taking everything in my power to collect myself. Okay. Her body quivered where it was pressed against my back, and I got the impression she was trying not to laugh. Oh, Oak, I can't even take how cute you are. Does this feel good? Her light teasing made my cock throb pleasantly. She stroked me again, firmly enough that my hips kicked again, and I moaned out loud, nodding frantically. Her soft, wonderful hand squeezed my cock near the base as she kissed my back again through my shirt. Then just let it feel good. It's about to feel very good, trust me. Put both hands on the dresser and let me take care of you this time. I'm excited for him. I let the roll of paper towels drop, half crumpled from how hard I'd eventually been gripping it, slapping my other palm down on the dresser as Tana started up again. Her free hand slid up my spine, fingers curling into my hair and gripping it, bowing me forward until my forehead touched the dresser top. She said face down, ass up. Oak is about to get that work, okay? I panted, overwhelmed with pleasure to be held like this, so unlike a door, so soft and vulnerable in her hands. Well, not entirely soft. My cock felt like it was about to drill into the dresser if I thrust beyond her grip. My hips had taken on a life of their own as I mindlessly rutted into her perfect palm, babbling words like yes and thank you, like they had just become my personal mantra. I gasped for breath as I began chasing something in her hand, a need rising like a roar from the core of me. Tana, I, what's going on? Oh! My ability to speak coherently fell away as my entire existence tried to spill itself into her cleverly twisting. I hope you guys are entertained. Reality bending pleasure shot through me in waves as my fingers scraped against the wood beneath them, my shouts echoing off of the bedroom wall in front of me. Once the sensation had faded a little, my human legs really did give up and sent me straight to my knees while clinging to the dresser edge to prevent a completely boneless flop. What was that, Tana? I looked at her with wide eyes as a dreamy grin pooling at the edges of my mouth as I panted. She gave me a bemused smile, sitting cross-legged in front of me, pulling a paper towel off the crumbled roll to wipe her palm. That was a hand job. That was a hand job, Oak. And I'm not sure I've ever seen a man completely reboot his hard drive over it like that. You okay, baby? I worried I'd broken you for a second there. I nodded, closing my eyes and giving a small happy sigh. I'm perfect. I've never felt so good. I didn't know I could feel so good. She leaned in, pressing a kiss to my forehead, and I wondered if my stomach would ever stop flip-flopping happily when she did things like that. Oh, this is cute. I liked being called baby and good boy more than anything, except maybe this new handjob thing. Can you wait here for a minute for me? I nodded, leaning back on my palms and watching her stand, smiling down at me before leaving the bedroom. She came back shortly after with a throw pillow from the couch, handing me a bottle of water and sitting down on the floor with the pillow on her lap. Here, Oak, come lay on Aww. We love this, okay. Come lay your head on the pillow for me. She laughed softly, handing me a warm, wet washcloth. And go ahead and wipe off your cock and put it away. I think it's earned a rest, don't you? I blushed again and grinned, though I wasn't sure why, and did as she asked, carefully zipping up. She encouraged me to drink some from the bottle of water before guiding me to lay with my head on her lap. Her fingers gently combed through my hair, relaxing every muscle in my human body at once. There we go. You did so well, Oak. That was playing a bit, but we can talk and play more in the future, if you'd like. Or we can keep it uncomplicated, if that feels better for you. She's trying to introduce him to the... Okay. I shook my head, moving to sit up before her fingertips on my chest lightly held me down. Oh, okay. Apparently I like that too. Okay, it's okay, Oak. You're all good. We love that for you. My cock agreed, but I ignored it because Tana said it should rest. No, I don't want to be uncomplicated. I enjoy that. We can play again if you want to. I reached for my zipper, but she gave my hair a tug, making my mouth go dry. Oh, and I like that. I like that. Tana grinned down at me, giving my head a soft shake with her grip on my hair. I think I've created a monster. No, Oak. Let's wait a bit. We have things to do, remember? I just wanted to give you a little reward for being such a good protector. I nuzzled her leg, cuddling closer with a laugh. Didn't feel little. Thank you, Tana. I hope you know that I would protect you no matter what. I don't need you to get things for me or do things for it. Her fingertips brushed my mouth. Shh. I know, baby. I do it because I want to. That's all. I wouldn't do it if I thought you were some kind of entryway fuckboy. Believe me. I raised a brow looking up at her. Loud, angry knocking at the front door had both of us sitting bolt upright, staring down the hallway. Only one person knocked that way. But Tana was already on her feet and had a hand on the door before my still pleasuring-soaked brain caught up with my mouth. Tana, wait. All right, chapter 13. Here goes Randall. Randall always has to fuck the moment up, you know? It was too late. Tana had already swung the new door open, and Randall had already shouldered his way into her living room, slamming the door behind him. His expression was so cold, I could feel the chill from here. He swayed unsteadily on his feet, his eyes wild and unfocused as he crowded Tana against the back of the new door, something metal flashing in his hand. Did you call him? Did you make up these fucking lies about me? They're probably tossing my place right now, you bitch. I hung up on them and now they're looking for me. Tana caught my gaze and gave a small sharp shake of her head, subtly motioning with her hand that I should stay down and out of sight. I hated it with every fiber of my new being, but I did as she told me. Randall had shoved one of his hands in his hair, clutching at it in a way that looked painful, grunting with frustration. If Sarah had just listened to me... I was a good guy. I told her that. I was so much better to her than Charlie had been. But no, she just wanted to be friends after laying all that emotional baggage on me. I'm not a fucking therapist. I hate people like this. Like, I'm not gonna say, oh, guys, no. I hate people like this that... You know what? Never mind. He snapped out of his tirade and glared at Tana, still plastered to the back of the door, but trying to stay calm. I'd never wished harder than her apartment had a back door. I couldn't leave this damn room without Randall seeing me. I couldn't get help for Tana. Randall raised the hand that wasn't in his hair, the metal glint suddenly taking shape. He had a gun. Ooh. Okay, brace yourselves. We don't know what's going to happen. Fear flooded my senses, determination drowning it as my vision narrowed in on Tana. I scrambled to my feet and down the hallway as fast as my legs could take me. Tana screamed and dove towards the couch. Randall turned to face me and I collided with him, slamming him into the door and grabbing his wrist. My face was an ugly snarl of fury as he shoved me back, ripping his wrist loosely and looking towards the couch like a predator. No. I punched him as hard as I could, the angle awkward because we were grappling so closely. Randall's pupils were wide and dilated. and he was clearly under the influence of something, which made him unexpectedly strong, as he shoved me back again. Tana smashed the vase against the back of his head with a dull thud, but it failed to take him down. Even as blood stained the edge of the half-broken vase and the back of Tana's couch, there was a bright flash and a searing pain, and then there was blood on me too. A cold sensation took over my limbs, a heaviness that made it impossible to move, to pick up my foot and travel forward, to put myself between Randall and Tana. I grew taller, a woozy Randall turning unfocused and confused eyes up to me. My floppy human spine stiffened as I fell into him, ramming his head between the edge of the couch frame and a sharp broken piece of the vase with a sickening thud. I was so tired. I needed to rest now. But wasn't there something I needed to... sleep? Chapter 14. Consciousness was a fleeting thing, but the few snippets I managed to capture told me I was definitely a door again. What? What? This time, however, the burning, angry presence of a bullet hole marred me in a through and through, a hole big enough to pass a pen through an inch below my apartment number. The pain of it made it hard to focus, to stay awake enough to understand what was going on around me. Images lingered in my mind without context or continuity. Some uniformed men and women scratching at a wall with a penknife and sliding Tana's orange juice bottle into a red-topped plastic bag. A weeping Tana talking to police officers, gesturing at me where I leaned at an angle off the back of the couch. Randall's crumpled body surrounded by blood-stained carpet in his eyes. With his eyes closed. What? I'm so lost. What? What is happening? Mrs. Scrimshaw, Christopher Thomas, in her arms, apologizing emphatically for something to Tana. A solemn officer, Holden, gesturing at the woods from the front door, nodding with a sad expression. A white room full of metal tables, littered with red-topped plastic bags, and the snap and whine of flash cameras. The thump-thump thud of a long journey in the back of a van, followed by the familiar warmth of Tana's living room and a smell of new carpet and paint. I am so fucking lost, y'all. So he got shot and he turned back into a door? What? And somewhere in the eternity, Tana's voice called out to me, like a golden rope to hang onto and pull myself out of the darkness. Oak, I don't know if you can hear me. I'm not even sure you weren't a fever dream, but I can't let you go. I made them bring you back to me after their investigation, after Randall was charged for the death of that poor girl. Her fingertips traced down my front, and I was relieved I could still feel her, that I hadn't lost that in whatever had happened to me. Her palm lingered over where my bullet hole had been, which felt better, somehow. As if she could read my mind, Tana gave a sad laugh, fingertips tracing where the hole had been. I got some wood putty. Okay, this is... Oh my god, I'm getting whiplash. Yo, I have... What is happening? I feel like Vera Valentine... Remember in part one or part two when I was like, Vera Valentine ate mushrooms or was on acid or something one night and she just decided to come up. That I solemnly swear that I believe that right now. Like, I wholeheartedly believe that she was on something when she made this, because what is happening? As if she could read my mind, Tana gave a sad laugh, fingertips tracing where the bullet hole had been. I got some wood putty. I don't know how exactly to fix mortal wounds on a man that turned into a door on me, but I think I did a decent job. Her voice cracked, and I realized she was not only crying, but had been for a while. I ached to be able to hold her, to make it better, to show her I was all right. But was I really? I was a door again. And with the replacement that I'd installed practically mocking me, what could Tana possibly have for me now? She'd already negotiated with the police to have me returned, which I'm sure came with a great deal of uncomfortable and possible questions, and I was touched she'd gone that far. I was essentially kindling in terms of usefulness, the thought filling me with a deep, wretched sadness. Something soft and slippery stretched over me, and with a shock, I discovered that Tana was stretching another barrier. Yo, stop playing with me. Stop. My mind has been fucked by this book, okay? Something soft and slippery stretched over me, and with a shock, I discovered that Tana was stretching another barrier. A condom, she'd explained when we were picking out my clothes, over my knob. I was resting flat against the carpet and Tana was wearing little more than a suggestion of lace that skimmed her curves and showed everything. I was wrecked, Oak. I wanted you back. I needed you back. Even though I knew Randall was in jail, I kept having these nightmares about being buried in the woods and I prayed. I didn't even know who I was praying to be honest with you, but I didn't care if they could bring you back to me. Tana, I swear to, this better not go in the direction that I think it's gonna go. I'm gonna be so pissed. Tana continued softly as the cap of the clear bottle, lube, clicked quietly, cool drops sliding down the sides of my latex-covered knob. And one night, someone finally answered. This beautiful Greek woman. She reached down and she pulled me out of the leaves and told me it was going to be all right. She walked right out of my nightmare, and she listened to me talk about you. Said some disparaging things about her husband being an idiot, and told me how I could get you back. It took weeks of paperwork and fighting with the evidence department, and a lot of Lysol, telling myself I wasn't crazy, but... She bit her lower lip, studying me, taking a long sip from her wine glass before setting it aside. Tana carefully folded the edges of her barely there lace nightie away from her hip. Away from her hips. Where she was beautifully bare underneath, straddling me. One hand splayed over my front, the other on the carpet behind her as she lowered herself onto me. Now she's riding him. Oh, Lord. Her breath catching. It took more wiggling on her part this time, but we had gravity working in our favor too. The tension of her nails digging into the carpet and against my front thrilled me, and I sent a silent prayer out to the woman that had dropped into Tana's dreams for this excellent suggestion. Transfixed by her quiet sighs and moans, I watched rapturously as Tana slowly and carefully sank down on my knob for the second time. Gasping as it finally slid in fully, I couldn't help but thrust, "Hi. If you're still here, thank you." Transfixed by her quiet sighs and moans, I watched rapturously as my Tana slowly and carefully sank down on my knob for the second time, gasping as it finally slid in fully. I cannot believe I'm fucking reading this. I couldn't help but thrust back up, my rigid body vibrating the tiniest bit. It was enough to make Tana's eyes fly open, however, wide with wonder as a smile curved her lips. Oak? She let out a little cry of alarm as my body bowed and grew beneath her. Oh, okay, I thought, you know, we'll talk about it after. As my body bowed and grew beneath her, my wide, short knob. Short knob lengthening into something between my door self and my human self, deep inside her, causing both of us to groan. She threw her arms around my neck as her thighs slid to either side of my naked human lap. Oak, it's you. It worked. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Hera. She covered my neck in kisses between each thank you, taking deep inhales against my skin like my scent was a drug she needed to live. As she moved to kiss my lips, her hips tilted just slightly, unconsciously seeking friction. I wrapped my hands around them, leaning back and thrusting up slowly to watch the lust haze in her eyes. As I whispered against her mouth, "My beautiful Tana, how I've missed you. I'd die for you 1,000 times to live this moment." Her head lolled back, her hair tickling the tops of my legs as I began to work in and out of her body, chasing instinct and sensations shamelessly. Her hands fell to my shoulders as she rode me at a pace that had me seeing stars. Damn. Okay. Grateful for the condom giving me a little more control, content to let her lead me as she found her own bliss. She ground herself into me, burying my cock to the hilt inside her, whimpering against my neck as she moved faster and faster, all but pinning me against the couch behind us. Yes. Yes. Oak, fuck me. Please, baby. Oh, God, I cannot. I can't. I took the hint and grabbed her hips even tighter, driving up into her until her moans dipped in pitch. Moments later, her body locked up against me, her cunt tightening and fluttering as her nails dug into my shoulders before she went all but boneless in my arms. She nuzzled my temple tenderly, whispering, "Put me on my back, Oak. I want you to use..." "I want you to use me to get off. I love that. I want to watch you use my body. Okay. Wow. The emotions, the things that I'm going through right now. Her eyes sparkled with a new kind of lust, and I held her against me as I rolled up on my knees, stretching her out on top of the carpet beneath me without sliding out of her. She raised her legs to rest her thighs on my hips, and I planted a palm on either side of her beautiful face, bracing myself the way I had on the dresser. We smiled at each other, and I watched the shift of her features with fascination as I stroked slowly into her, the flutter of her eyelashes, her teeth whirring at her lower lip, her brow furrowing with pleasure. I leaned back to kiss the furrow away, starting up a slow, hungry rhythm of thrust that felt best to me, exactly as she'd asked me to. She nodded, mouthing, "Good boy," up at me, and my last thread of control snapped, sending my hips crashing into her gracelessly as I whined. Her hand found my hair again as I drove into her, panting with need. "I know you can do it for me, Oak." "I know you can do it for me, Oak, baby. I know you can fill that condom up and show me how much you missed me. Go on, lover. Fuck me hard. Take what you want. Take what you need. Come for me. Come for me now." I think I said this, but genuinely, I wonder what would happen. Would they have, like, little door bait? Like, that can't be possible, because she's human. Like, complete. Never mind. Her tone as she instructed me, half control and command, and half just shy of teasing, sent me over the edge so fast I was almost embarrassed. I cried out for her, chanting her name, mindlessly trying to root myself even deeper as I pulsed and twitched and shuddered, completely undone. I gently rested my forehead on hers as I gasped for air, my heart hammering with pleasant exhaustion. She gathered me against her chest, letting me go boneless, tilting us to the side so that I didn't crush her as I caught my breath. She stroked her hands up and down my sweaty ribs and back, tracing soft paths as she sighed with contentment. "Have I pleased you? Did I do well?" I blushed, shy to voice those questions still, needing her praise as much as I needed her body moments ago. "So well, my good boy. Absolutely perfect. You did exactly what I asked you to do, and I loved every minute of it. Thank you so much, baby." I tucked a broad smile against her shoulder, cheeks burning. "I was a good boy." This is cute. I'm sorry. After we'd rested for a moment, Tana talked me through holding the edge of the condom as I eased our bodies apart. And even that simple instruction was enough to stir my cock's interest again. Wow, my man's is ready to go. He stays ready. She also snickered at my stricken expression, which didn't help matters at all. She tapped my tip-filled condom-covered cock with... That was a mouthful. No pun intended. She tapped my tip-filled condom-covered cock with a finger. Say that 3 times. Hurry up. Go. You failed. Winking at me as she got up, gesturing towards the small room, the bathroom, she called it. "You're definitely my type, Dry." Sorry, I don't like dries, drizz. Fuck that. "Oak. You're definitely my type, Oak. We're going to have so much fun. Now get cleaned up. You and I are going out to dinner to celebrate your triumphant return." I tugged the condom off, looking with fascination at the thick white liquid on my fingertips before I washed them off in the sink. Tana explained, as she got ready nearby, that it had been several months since that fatal night when I was shot and reverted back to my door self. Mrs. Scrimshaw had actually called in about Randall. The older woman had previously caught him going out to the woods at odd hours of the night and realized Tana's car wasn't in the lot the last time Randall had let himself into the parking lot or into the apartment. Randall had nearly died from head trauma the night. Good. I'm sorry, not sorry. Randall had nearly died from head trauma the night he shot me and I fell on him. I was solid Oak. Period. Because he said that. You heard him. He said it. He said it in part one or part two. He said, "Look at the material." When she tried to say that he was pressed wood, he was like, I am made of solid oak. I did not forget that line, okay? I was solid oak after all, but had pulled through enough to face trial and spend the rest of his life in prison. Poor Sarah had been laid to rest properly, and her family had gotten the closure they'd been waiting so long for. Once I was dressed in a pair of nice black pants and a button-up shirt she'd bought for me while I was in evidence, Tana smiled as she fixed my collar, her expression soft and affectionate. "So?" "Hera also said that you'll turn back into a door every full moon, so we'll need to repeat this when you transform, so I can bring you back with my magic pussy." Vera. Vera. She giggled and cupped a hand over the enchanted genitals in question, over the skirt of her beautiful red dress. You should be able to stay human for the rest of the month now, at least. Though she also said you'll have more control over the changes once you get used to it. Kinda glad about that, honestly. I'm a fan of your knob. Clearly. She wrapped her arms around my waist and tilted her face up for a kiss, which I gladly gave her. Your wish is my command. Now and always, in anybody, I can give you. She cupped my cheek and patted it a tad too firmly with a smile, making my cock jump yet again. I doubted I'd ever really get it back under control, now that Tana had truly claimed me. Oh, and, well, it was kind of weird, but some old guy in a bathrobe or something knocked on my door yesterday, asking about you. I was a little freaked out, obviously, but he said you were family? I don't see how that's possible, but I didn't tell him anything either, just in case. He left something for you. She grabbed a small box off the entryway table and handed it to me, peering curiously into it as I pulled off the cover. Inside, a worn brown leather wallet was nestled against a few folded sheets of tissue paper. We sat on the couch as I opened the wallet, where a driver's license with a photo graced the front pocket, declaring me as... You have got to be fucking kidding me. Declaring me as Driz Locke. That's Oak's name, y'all. Driz Locke. D-R-Y-S. Last name, L-O-C-K-E. Vera is so unserious. Declaring me as Driz Locke. Drizzy Drake. A 32-year-old legal immigrant from Greece, along with a passport and a small copy of my theoretical Greek birth certificate. That's where my mind's at, because I'm into astrology. Okay, a substantial amount of high-value bills and a business card for an antiques dealer were tucked in the back of the wallet. As I turned over the card, "Tell him Dad sent you, and take good care of that beautiful girl," greeted me in sharp, tidy handwriting, and an antique gold coin rolled out from the back pocket to land heavily on my leg. So, maybe Zeus had learned something after all. Either way, I wasn't going to let a good lesson go to waste. I tucked the coin and card safely in the drawer of the coffee table and extended a hand to help Tana up. The gods have spoken. I have a beautiful girl to take to dinner. I smiled as she turned her face up to me again, wordlessly demanding another kiss. I really liked it when she bossed me around. The end. That's literally what it says. Wow. That was a ride, okay? That was a door ride. That was a knob ride. That was a lock ride. That was a Dry's ride or Driz ride or whatever the fuck you want to call it. Oh my God. Tana Vent. And Driz Locke. So her name will be Tana Locke. If that was a ride. I don't even know what to say. What do you say? What do I even say, you know? What do I even say? What do I make of this book? It was entertaining, okay? Usually I give books... If I really, really enjoy them and, like, I connected with the characters and I love the story and all that stuff, I give it 5 stars or more. This book, it's not like I don't know how to explain. What did you think? I could tell you one thing. I have never in my life read anything like that before, and I don't know if I ever will again. I don't know if anything can top that. I don't know if... The shrooms or the acid or whatever Vera Valentine was on can be topped. And if that came straight off of creativity and imagination and there was nothing in her system and she just came up with that, she's on another level. So, you know what's wild though? That's not true. That's not true because I was looking for other books and I had seen, it was like recommended books similar to this, right? So apparently there's more of this out there, okay? Listen, I give this book not 5 stars because I can't, because like, it's not a book that I genuinely was like, oh, I love this book and you know, it wasn't it, but entertaining, I give it a 5 out of 5, like, period. Like, I give it all the stars for entertainment. I give it a lot of stars for creativity and originality. It was, to me, it was good just because of those things. So I don't know. And I feel like I need to go drink now. I feel like that shit fucked with my head. I'm not gonna go and drink. I'm not really a drinker, but I feel like I need water and maybe a bath. I just need to contemplate my life, because there were so many times throughout this book, even just in this reading, I'm not even mentioning part one and part two. This is part three. There were so many times throughout this book that I was like, I can't believe I'm reading this to people right now. There was a lot to grasp. But, you know, they live happily ever after. You know? I don't know what to say. I really don't. Thanks for listening to this. Yeah.